Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Side League. Use the promo code REDROCK for a free deposit bonus. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at REDROCK_BBall. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/RedRockBasketball and on email redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Well, some very, very interesting games in the NBA today. We had the first team through to the conference finals. The Cavs ended up demolishing the Bulls in Game 6 with a 94-73 victory. But probably the story of the night is the Houston Rockets getting back, even pegging 3-3 with the Clippers after the Clippers being up 18 points late. The Rockets ended up winning 119-107. A huge, huge upset given the way Houston played in Game 4. They've now won the last two games and they head back to Houston for Game 7. With momentum, and the Clippers must be thinking, what just happened? They can't be thinking anything else. They have to be thinking what's happening in that game. I don't want to hear about, you know, Chris Paul's not clutch. He choked, all this stuff. I'm not sick of it. You hear people talking, about these things and you think these guys are in the heat of the moment. Sometimes things go wrong, sometimes things go right, all that sort of stuff. Nobody is perfect at any stage, let alone heat of the moment. Yeah, it was bad, it was poor. The Clippers here, I think, one of their last 18 shots or something ridiculous like that. And that's bad. There's a lot of mental pressure that goes on. Look, I get on people a lot. You would have heard me ranting about people, but I get on people for things that should have been planned, like coaches using wrong rotations or putting wrong guys in starting lineups and making confusing decisions that have been planned I've got an issue with Josh Smith. Now, he was great today, and my issue with him is he doesn't shoot three-pointers well. He's a bad three-point shooter, so why does he continually take them? I don't necessarily have an issue with the Clippers falling in a hole because shots weren't going in at the end of the game, because I'm not going to get on them and just start bagging them. These guys are useless, they're crap, they're garbage. I don't believe in that, especially when these guys are great 95% of the time. And yeah, there's a pressure element to it, and that does, you know, being able to withstand the pressure does make some people great, but it also doesn't make great players crap. And that's something I think we need to get our head around. The other thing I've seen a lot of on Twitter today is talking about the Bulls. You know, we need to blow the Bulls up. They're done. They need to blow everything up. Fire Tibbs. Let go of, trade Noah, trade Rose. Get rid of the whole team. Blow it up. Start from scratch. I don't think that's what needs to be done. Yeah, there were some disappointing performances, definitely. But I think the blowing it up aspect is a little bit, going a little bit too far. That's my overall thoughts on things. Congratulations to Cleveland. Also, big congratulations to the Australian boy, Matthew Dellavedova, who put up a really, really nice performance. A fantastic performance, in fact, to lead the Cavs in scoring with Kyrie Irving going down. Let's get into that game now. The Cavs got the victory, and they got it pretty comfortably. Now, Irving hurt his knee. He played just 12 minutes, had 6 points. They're saying the knee's okay. If the game had been close, he would have come back in. But Dellavedova off the bench was amazing for this team. 19 points. He hit 3 threes. 2 rebounds and assists, so not much else, but his overall production was obviously fantastic and made Cleveland's job easier, and it made it easier that they didn't have to put Irving back in, so he didn't have to go back out there and risk further injury. So that's so valuable in itself, let alone his actual contribution on the court. Some of the other Cavs, we'll go through some of the other Cavs performances. Iman Shumpert definitely was a great option. I said he was going to be a great option, and he came through for us. $4,800 his price was. He put up 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Throughout the regular season, J.R. Smith was definitely the best acquisition that the Cavs made in that deal. Through the playoffs, it's definitely been Iman Shumpert, who was great here. Now, Smith played 34 minutes off the bench, 12-8. 2 assists, a steal, a block. Still a pretty good performance from Smith, and he was someone you could have used in all of your fantasy lineups and got great return. But Shumpert was fantastic again. Shumpert's been averaging 24.7 points over the last 5 games. That's really impressive. He had 33 today at less than $5,000. He has been really, 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 really good value as of late for this team. And since he had this, I don't see him giving up the starting job for the rest of these playoffs. I can't see that happening. Tristan Thompson had another big game for him. 13 points, 17 rebounds, 2 blocks. Again, he played 40 minutes. 40 minutes, that's a That's a lot of minutes in a game that was a blowout as well. Mozgov, just the 26 minutes. We can't rely on Mozgov for fantasy value, but we can rely on Thompson. He's averaging 28 or 27.5 points his last five. He got us 37 today, and he's priced at a decent price. 5,400 is a little expensive, but he's living up to it at the moment. He's putting up some really good performances. Mentioned Dellavedova. He was 3,400. He gave us value back almost 20 points from him, and he's been sort of threatening it with those 18 to 19 minutes. Now, you couldn't envisage he was going to get 34 minutes, but he did, and he put up some very, very big numbers. Mentioned J.R. Smith. The big guys for Cleveland let us down a bit. LeBron, 15, 9, and 11 with two blocks is okay. He almost had a triple-double. That's fine for most people, but when you're spending 11,700, it let you down. It wasn't enough. It was only 42 points down from his playoff average of 54, and that makes an impact. Whereas if you picked Kyrie, and I highly advise against not doing that without knowing he was going to have a knee injury, but your lineups would have been sunk. 6 points in 12 minutes for Kyrie due to that knee issue. And Mozgov has at the 26 minutes, 7 and 5. Look, he's great out there. He gives them what they need, but for fantasy purposes, the minutes aren't there and the stats aren't there for us to rely upon for him in any sort of situation. James Jones also had a nice little game off the bench, 9 points with 2 rebounds, and at $2,000, not bad. He's averaging 9 points a game over his last five, and it said at 2,000, that's almost enough to use him alongside some other big name or big priced players. For Chicago, there wasn't a lot happening. Pau Gasol was back. Nikola Mirotic still did okay. He got 13 minutes off the bench. 7 points and a steal at $2,000 is okay, but nothing really to write home about. Joakim Noah, not exciting. 4 points and 11 rebounds. And Mike Dunleavy struggled as well. 7 points and 4 assists. The big names, like Pau Gasol, like Derrick Rose, didn't do much. 14, 2, and 6 for Rose. Not good enough. We're obviously not seeing him again this season. Pau Gasol, 8 and 5 in 24 minutes. Not good enough also. It obviously wasn't the Bulls' night. Things weren't going well for them. Jimmy Butler had 20 points still, but at 7,900, he probably didn't give you exactly what you needed from him. Wasn't as bad as, say, Rose or Gasol. Hopefully no one used Gasol. It was definitely not a good situation to use him. But not a great night for using really any Chicago guys in daily fantasy. It is going to be interesting to see what they do, especially in that front court with those four guys, Mirotic, Gasol, Noah, and Gibson, how they use them. It's an abundance of riches, how they do things going forward and with the coaching situation as well. And we'll see what plays out with that over the offseason. The second game, Houston and the Clippers. Jason Terry continues to be a great daily fantasy option. 7 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block in 33 minutes. And price at 3,300, that's great. He got you 24 points. He's averaging 21 in his last five. That's fantastic at that value. You can keep looking at him unless that price rises, but I don't really see it rising too much. We love what he's doing at this point. Corey Brewer had his best game in a while. 19 and 10 and 2 assists, a double-double for Brewer. Gave us 35 points. He's averaging 20. And that's, you know, so that makes him sort of usable in certain situations, but nothing like we saw today. And Josh Smith was fantastic. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. He hit 4 triples as well. He gave us 33 fantasy points, definitely well above what he's been doing. So yeah, don't feel too bad if you left him out of your lineup. It would have made sense to do it, but he went big. Dwight Howard, 20 and 21, 2 blocks and a steal. Superb value at 9,000 and continues to be. He's basically been a great daily fantasy option every game throughout these playoffs. Terrence Jones off the bench chimed in with 16 points. Not a bad performance from him. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And at that cheap price, he gave you some definite value. And Trevor Ariza was okay, 13 and 5 with 2 steals. Nothing really to write home about from Ariza, but not a horrible game. James Harden benched down the stretch. Now, he was suffering from the flu. He only played 30 minutes in this game. 23 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Not a horrible night. And again, you only had to pay the 10,000 instead of the standard 10.5 or 11,000 for Harden, but the 30 minutes really cramped his overall value. So a little bit of a letdown. It's pretty much a letdown from all of the big name or big price players, with the exception of Howard and Chris Paul, who we'll get into in a sec. We might get into Chris Paul now. He was great. He played 41 minutes, 31, 7, and 11. A great night for him. At 9,500, that's superb value. 54 points. Averaging 40 points throughout the playoffs, 41 over his last five. The minutes restrictions are gone. I think we can feel relatively comfortable about using him. He's going to have to go big in Game 7. We saw what he did last time in Game 7. We'll see what his salary breaks down to when we look at those next games that the Clippers play. But he's going to be someone that becomes an interesting play there. Matt Barnes, almost a double-double, 9 points and 10 rebounds, an okay night from him. JJ Redick chimed in with 15 points, while Blake Griffin had 28 and 8, 2 assists, 2 steals and a block. And again, it looks like a great line, but at 11,400, it's not that good. 43 points, it's still okay, but you need to make sure you surrounded him with all the right other options, so you wouldn't need it to play Thompson and Shumpert and Terry, Josh Smith, Paul Howard, those guys, to really, really allow Blake to carry you through. Because if you're relying on him and use some other cheap options that didn't work, it didn't work for you, because it's not, 43 points is great. Don't get me wrong. 43 points is great, but at 11,000, it's not great enough. DeAndre Jordan continues to disappoint throughout the playoffs in terms of his daily fantasy value. 8 and 9 for him, 2 steals and 4 blocks, only gave us 30 points. He's averaging 36, so it's only slightly below average, and 36 is just not enough for that salary of over 8,000. So he has definitely been a bit of a letdown, as has Jamal Crawford, who is putrid here. 9 points, not much else. He's not giving us anything. He's only averaging 19 points. It's not enough for us to be using him, and I don't think I would recommend using him in any sort of situation so far, or going forward. He just has not been the same since coming back from that calf injury. Okay, that's it for those games from Thursday. Let's look ahead to Friday's games. There are no games on Saturday, just an advance warning, so there'll be no podcast for Saturday because there are no games to discuss, but then we'll be back after that. Got some interest. No, I'll keep that to myself. I might mention it on tomorrow's. No, I'm not having a podcast tomorrow. Well, on the next podcast I have, I might mention something interesting that may be happening coming up, so I'll keep you in suspense for that at the moment. Now, there's two games here. We've got two more series that could be over. We've got Atlanta traveling to Washington for Game 6, up 3-2. The Wizards are actually favored here by 2.5 with a total of 197. John Wall is listed as probable. He said he was going to be a game-time decision after playing in Game 5 because of the hits he took. I can't see there's any chance that he misses this game. I think he will be in the lineup. At 9,500, do you go ahead and use him? He's averaging 44 points his last five. He was great in Game 5 when he came back. It's a little risky at that price point, but it's not a complete write-off. I think someone that you have to include in pretty much every lineup is Brad Beal, though. At 7,700, he's been superb, averaging 41 the last five. He's been scoring, he's been rebounding, he's been assisting, he's been getting steals, he's been doing everything, so I like him at that price. Nene's salary's gone up from 3,800 to 4,000. I think we still like to use him in tournaments. He's been really solid lately, getting you 19 points a game. He did have a big 35 point game in there, and the last three games have been really good for Nene. So I like looking at him in tournaments, and Dennis Schroeder's price has also gone up. He's up to 4,400, but again, he's been solid, getting almost 24 points a game the last five. Don't mind using him. We saw them prefer Schroeder over Teague down the stretch in game five. He's going to get 25 to 27 minutes. I think there's almost no doubt about that. So he's a nice, cheap option that you can use at point guard in tomorrow or in Friday's games, whatever day you're listening to this. Otto Porter at 5,100, probably priced a little bit out of our price range now, and Paul Pierce is now also at 5,100. So that makes them both a little bit tough to use. Porter averaging 26 points the last five, Paul Pierce 24.6. So a slight edge to Porter at a similar salary. I think I go Porter because he seems to have the ability to get more rebounds and more steals, whereas Pierce is more just a shooter at this point, and we've seen Porter average more than Pierce throughout the whole playoffs, throughout the last five games. I think Porter remains a bit of a better option there. Jeff Teague has prices increased to 7,200. That makes it harder for me to use him. He was at 69 the last game. Didn't play that well. He played okay, but not that well. That makes it a little bit hard to use him. Al Horford at 7,900 is still a better value than Paul Millsap at 8,800. I've talked about this a lot. He's averaging 10 points a game more over the last five than what Millsap is, yet you're paying $900 less. So Al Horford remains a really good option. Damari Carroll at 6,800, I'm avoiding him. Kyle Korver's dropped to 5,800, but he's been so poor that I avoid him even at that price. Any cheap options to look at? Mike Muscala, maybe, at $2,000. He's averaging 8.5 the last five. That's not great, but if he goes out there and gives you a 12 or a 13 point game in a tournament, that might be enough to squeeze some other big names in there. So consider him out of those players. And Kent Bazemore at 2000 is also someone worth considering. You have to look at him because he can go out there and give you a 12 or 13 point night as well at $2,000. And they become sort of interesting players. The second game, another game six, Golden State traveling to Memphis to try and close out the series. The Warriors are favored here. We've got a total of 194. Tony Allen is considered probable. I don't think we're going to use him either way, but it's going to have some sort of an impact on the value of daily fantasy or daily fantasy value for these guys. David Lee, I'm liking for tournaments. Now, his price has gone up to 2,200. We saw him have a big game in the last one. I think in a tournament, you throw him at that low salary, and he can give you a definitely big return on your investment. Harrison Barnes at 4,300 remains solid. He's averaging 21 throughout the playoffs, and that's pretty much enough at that price. That's a real solid cash game price. He's been almost as safe as houses, Harrison Barnes. Sean Livingston at 2,000 is tournaments only, and it's a little bit risky for me. They're the cheap options. Vince Carter's gone up to 2,700. If Tony Allen plays, I probably steer clear of Carter a little bit. I might use him in a tournament, definitely not a cash game, but that price up to 2,700 makes it tough. Marc Gasol is the big money guy here. At $9,000, he's averaging 39 points over the last five, which is actually down from his 41-point average throughout the playoffs. I think he can actually get that and more. He's going to be playing hard. He's going to be at home. I like him a lot. Mike Conley's still at that $5,800. There's going to be a big Mike Conley game. It has to come at some point. I'm happy to use him because he can really explode. He can give you 35, 36 points comfortably at that price, and that's a great return. Steph Curry at $10,100. Only averaging 39 points the last five. That's not enough at that salary. Now, we know that he can go big, he can go huge, but is it worth it? Now, it depends if you want to throw some of these guys in, like a Carter or like David Lee or like some of those other cheap options from the earlier game, or like a Nene or Dennis Schroeder, some of those $4,000 guys. He can go big, but again, he hasn't been paying off that salary very much, and neither has Draymond Green, who's priced at $8,000, who's only averaging 29.5 the last five. His overall playoff numbers have been 36, which is good at $8,000, but he has been slumping a little bit. Zach Randolph I'm avoiding at 7,200, and Klay Thompson at 7,100. I don't think there's much value in either of those guys, nor Andrew Bogut at 5,200, who, although he's averaging 22 points, it's not quite enough for me to go, yeah, I want Andrew Bogut in my team. Courtney Lee's a decent tournament guy, 3,800. He's been struggling the last couple, but he can go pretty big. Well, for his salary, big anyway. He could give you a 24, 25-point night, and that's definitely enough at that salary. Jeff Green I'm avoiding. Even if he starts, he's been absolutely putrid. And Tony Allen at 4,700. It's just too expensive, considering what we saw in Game 5 when the Warriors put Bogut on Allen. His minutes got limited, and he wasn't effective. And wasn't able to go out there and really have any sort of input and put up any fantasy stats, which is what we're really caring about. Marc Gasol is the best high price guy around at the moment in this game. Steph Curry, it's expensive for him, and so in Draymond Green, but you have to think that the upside is there for them. And Mike Conley at 5,800 is a very, very good cheap option, whereas David Lee and Harrison Barnes are some other extremely cheap options that can round out a lineup pretty well. All right, that's it for today's podcast. Looking forward to these game sixes tomorrow. Can't wait to see actually what happens, whether we have series over or what happens with that. Reminder, there is no games on Saturday, so there'll be no podcast on Saturday. And when the games resume, when the next games come back, I'll talk about what's going to be happening with the podcast moving forward and how we sort of go about it, because a lot will depend if these... If both these game sixes are won by the one seeds, we're only going to have one series still going, and that'll mean the podcast won't be coming daily necessarily, because it won't be games daily. I'm sure that makes sense to everybody. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.